On the first day of the week, when we met to break bread, Paul was holding a discussion with some folks. There was mood lighting, very IKEA, very Nikki Blaine's. Well, a young man named Eutychus was falling asleep on Paul and was sitting in an upstairs window. Eutychus fell out of that window 3 stories and hit the ground dead. You heard me. How's that for pie in the sky? Satisfied? What?
Okay. I've been maybe kind of negative.
Please, kind of?
All right, you're right. But that's the whole point of this off-script thing we've got going on. Life happens. Like, really bad stuff. But then God makes beautiful out of our tragedies and our losses. For example, Eutychus, he's dead. But then Paul goes over, he bends over the boy, and he says, there's life here. And guess what? He lives.
Well, just look at you.
Right? I'm digging this new positive vibe thing I got going on.
And it looks good on you.
The word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
Let's thank Vince and Gus for such a wonderful way of making scripture come alive again. We are so grateful for them all throughout this series for showing us just how real and relevant God's word is. For those of you who are just joining us for the first time, or those of you who started with us a few weeks ago, we have come to the final installment of this series, Off Script, and I pray that you have been able to find some word of hope over these last few weeks. Today we journey to a rare story in the Bible, and I want to take an informal poll in the chat. How many of you have ever heard of this story before? Now, as you are typing, some of you may or may not know this, but this is the 8th congregation that I have been a part of. Yes, 8 congregations. Now, either as an intern, as an associate, as a pastor or a member, but this is my 8th congregation. And they've all been quite different. They've been different in denominations, demographics, worship styles, theology, you name it. But the one thing that you will find true in the body of Christ, it is not their love for Jesus Christ. But I don't care if it was the Baptist Church in Brooklyn, if it was the Presbyterian Church in Mount Clair, New Jersey, or it was the Methodist Church in Southern New Jersey. The one thing that you will find true in the body of Christ wherever you go, it is the practice of sleeping in church. And you know what's true. Now listen, I'm not judging because my eyes have been heavy in the house of God on a few occasions. Now let's take another informal poll. You can type it in the chat. You can type it in the chat section if you want to. But how many of you have ever seen someone falling asleep in church? Now listen, don't put their names, don't even put your name, just type yes or no. But how many of you have ever seen someone falling asleep in church, right? You've seen those eyes start to get heavy, you've seen those eyelids start to blink real slow, right? Because here is the truth, and you know it's the truth. We've all seen it before. We've all seen someone who has been struck by the sleep bug every once in a while, which makes me wonder, why didn't they see it back then? Why didn't they see that in the 20th chapter of Acts? Well, let's look at the scene, because when you get to our text, Paul is on his 3rd missionary journey. And he arrives at this particular city to encourage the believers before he leaves for town the next day. Now, Paul knows at this point that he may not ever get back to visit these Christians again. So they gather together at night to worship and to share in a meal. Now, you have to know that many of the churches that Paul started were economically diverse. And many of the working and lower class citizens, they work most of the day so that they would gather together at night as a means of social inclusion. Now, knowing he may not ever see these Christians again, Paul starts preaching his heart out. Now, he knows that this might be the last time he sees them, so Paul tries to preach every sermon that he has in his back pocket. Now, this is not my interpretation. This is not the Caldwell Gross interpretation, but the text reminds us that he goes on and on and on, and I'm glad my wife is not here to see me. He just preaches on and on, and some suggest that he preached for almost 6 hours. Now, they came with the script to hear Paul preach, and Paul came with the intentions on preaching because he may not ever see these Christians again. But remember, it's the first day of the week, which means it's a working day. And it's at night, and the sermon is long, and the room is full, and the temperature is hot, and the lamps are bright. You can feel the environment, can't you? Apparently, a boy named Eutychus couldn't fight it anymore. He tried shifting his positions. He tried crossing his legs. He tried taking as many notes as possible. Even the leftover candy wasn't enough because the day was long. It was getting late, and the sermon was going on, and the room was full, and the temperature was hot, and the lamps were bright. So I imagine he tried sitting up in the window because he couldn't fight it anymore, but sleep got the best of him. And he fell 3 stories out of the window. Now, Paul intended to preach to them all night because he was leaving in the morning, and he didn't know if he would ever see them again, so they intended on hanging on to his every word all night, but no one, and I mean no one, scripted having someone fall out of the window and die. Now, this is a really bizarre off-scripted moment, but what happens next might even be more shocking, because what Paul does next says a lot about scripts. In the middle of his preaching to a packed room where everyone has come to hear him preach his heart out, Paul willingly decided to move away from what he intended and what they expected. Packed room, and they've come to see him. You see, there are some off-scripted moments that happen by chance, and others happen by choice. You see, we're not just victims of life being unplanned, but as we grow in our faith, we courageously initiate some of the unplanned and blessed moments in our lives. And for Paul, there was something more important than his script. There was something more compelling than what he had planned, and that was saving Eutychus. In fact, the first thing that this off-script moment shows us is that there are times when opportunities come disguised as interruptions. In other words, what feels like an interruption, what sounds like an interruption, right? What feels like an interruption might be just an opportunity. I mean, let's face it, this is not what Paul had planned when they invited the believers of this city to have a farewell worship service before he left. This incident has the potential to feel like an interruption. It sounds like an interruption. It feels like an interruption. And that right there is why it's so hard to embrace these off-scripted moments. Because let's be honest, things like this often feel like something or someone is intruding or invading our time and our script. How dare Eutychus falls now? Couldn't he wait until Paul finished preaching? Why does he have to die on our watch? Doesn't it seem like things like this happen at all the worst times? But the truth is, I can relate to what some of them may have been feeling. Because you may not know this about me, but rarely, and I mean rarely, but rarely do I sit down and write my sermons at a desk. In fact, my best work, when my best work is at a restaurant or coffee shop, when I'm waiting at the bus station, when I'm waiting in line at the airport, when I'm on a plane, I mean, I write anywhere. But the truth is, I like to write while I'm in public. Now, here's the problem. When I write in public, you become susceptible to people who are curious as to why you have all of these books and commentaries and the Bible. I mean, they ask crazy questions like, what do you do for a living? Or are you a student? Or my favorite one is, or you must be a preacher. I feel like I'm in an inquisition because most times this ends up with them telling me all about their life story. But literally, I just told them I'm working on a sermon and I try all of the rules of disengagement. I stop laughing at their jokes. My head nods, become fewer and fewer, and I actually start turning the pages like I want to get back to reading or doing what I was doing before you showed up and interrupted me. And I thought we were on the same page when you began the conversation by saying, I didn't mean to. You see, you know what it's like. But sometimes opportunities come disguised. Because I realized the irony of being bothered by people who needed help while I was working on a sermon that I believe would help people. It hit me one day that most of the time when I begrudgingly listened, 10 times out of 10, it felt like God sent them to me at that moment to either encourage me about what I was going to preach on or to give me something that I needed to pull things all together. It was as if I prayed, God, can you please help me pull this all together? And then someone interrupted me with a story about their lives that would help me to help other people. Isn't it amazing how sometimes opportunities come disguised as interruptions? Truth is, faith is a long journey of interruptions. Think about it. Burning bush, interruption. Hey guys on the boat, leave everything and follow me. Interruption. Hey Mary, can you carry my child that's going to be the savior of the world? Interruptions. In fact, most of the people that Jesus healed, it was a result of them interrupting what he was already doing. Now listen, you may not ever preach a single sermon, but how many of us prematurely tune out the things that God is trying to do in our lives and the people that God is trying to send to us because they come disguised as interruptions? But the truth is, God heals in the context of interruptions. God calls in the context of interruptions. God is present often in the form of interruptions. Some of our greatest blessings come in the context of interruptions. But if we don't see it through, if we always abandon what seems like an interruption, then we never get to the other side of something being an opportunity. In fact, if you want to be open to divine opportunities, we have to be comfortable with interruptions. Because what's good for me and convenient to me are not always synonymous. Because when Paul makes his way downstairs, he's making a theological claim. Don't miss this. Because to this packed room, he is suggesting that this one life is more important than either what he or they had planned. Paul is compelled by people and not by plans. In some ways, Paul is mimicking what God so willingly does for us. He is mirroring what God wants to do with us. He is showing them what God's relentless pursuit of us and them it's like. It is why God leaves the 99 to find just one. It is why the woman sweeps through her whole house and celebrates when she finds one coin. It's why the father brings everybody together and celebrates when the son comes home. Paul is not just moving away from the crowd, but making the decision to go off script. It is courageously breaking free from the narratives and the script that governs that moment. Because people came expecting him to preach, but he moves away from that. He came expecting to preach, but he moves away from that. And Eutychus, of all people that he wants to save, now some would suggest that he is probably one of those servants, but because with an aspirational name that meant good fortune and being so close to the window, it's likely that he wasn't the big wig in the room. And Paul is doing all this for him. Because sometimes being faithful to the moment means that we risk disappointing people. But it doesn't stop there, because watch what Paul does when he comes down. And no one expected Paul to do this. No one saw Paul doing this. In fact, what Paul does is off script. Paul throws himself on the boy. And the text reminds us that he wraps his arms around the dead body of Eutychus. Now, this is unprecedented, because rarely, and I mean rarely, was this used as a script for healing in the New Testament. No other disciple was doing this. It wasn't in their scripts. It wasn't in the scripts of the other apostles. This was not in anybody's script, because often they would say something like, pick up your mat and walk. Or they would say something like, stand up and be healed. Sometimes they would get together and have a big prayer meeting, and the imprisoned doors would just come off. But with Paul, there was no prayer meeting, there was no command, there was no washing in the pool, because that's the normal script. But when Paul throws himself onto Eutychus, he's going off script. And let's not forget that Jews didn't touch dead bodies because it made them unclean. Paul is going off the rails. Paul is going off script. And then it dawned on me. You know what people mean when they say something went off script? You know what sometimes people really want to say? What we actually want to say is, this is not how it went for anybody else. This is not the script that everybody else is using. Truth is, we subconsciously write other people's script over our own. And instead of embracing our unique narratives, we spend the majority of our lives comparing our scripts with everybody else. And some of us have even strategically stolen somebody else's script, and we keep trying to use what works for them and to see if it will work for us. But we will never be successful trying to live a script that was meant for somebody else. Let me say it again, write it down. We would never be successful trying to live a script that was meant for somebody else. Your script can look completely different than everyone else around you. So we need to stop comparing scripts, because God might have a different route and a different plan. God might have you on a different timetable. God might have a very unique script for your life. But we have to be willing to break free from the narratives and the scripts that already exist in the moment. So let me ask you this question. You don't have to type it in, but just think about it. What narratives govern your life? Can't you hear them now? I'm too short. I'm too emotional. I'm not emotional enough. I'm too shy. I'm too outgoing. I'm too loud. I'm too obnoxious. I'm not enough, right? I'm too out of touch. I'm too spiritual. I'm not spiritual enough. The truth is, we will never truly see what God is capable of doing until we break free from the narratives and the scripts that govern our lives. Paul is never able to heal Eutychus until he breaks free from the scripts that exist in the moment. So are we courageous enough to break free from the narratives that exist and govern our lives? Paul was able to do something that he had never done before because he was able to break free from the narratives. He was able to do what others were not able to do because he was willing to break free from the narrative. You'd be surprised what God would be able to do and what we would be able to see if we would break free from the narratives. Because Paul's entire life has gone off script. Paul shouldn't be a preacher by now because his life has gone off script. Paul shouldn't be writing and building churches and doing church planting. Everything about this environment, it is perfectly off script. And yet that's where God shows up. Because Paul lays on the ground and embraces Eutychus, and while everyone else seems to be watching, let me say that again. Maybe you missed the gap and the irony there. They've been listening to him preach for 6 hours. Eutychus falls out of the window and Paul goes down, and it seems like everyone else is watching. There is no activity from the crowd. They've listened to him preach for 6 hours, and yet there is no activity while everyone else seems to be watching. How can you listen to somebody preach for all that long? And yet Paul goes down and gives the news that Eutychus is alive. Because sometimes the interruption is actually an intervention. Remember, they're trying to save Eutychus. And you see, if you look at Eutychus' story, we could just about predict the ending, right? I mean, you don't have to be a genius to predict how this is going to end. He's sitting on the third floor. He falls asleep out of the window. And we could assume that he's not going to make it out of this well. He falls asleep, hits the ground. You know how this story ends. His script is pretty predictable until Paul intervenes. You see, the last few weeks we have lifted up the idea that there are so many unplanned and unscripted things that happen in our lives. And in some ways, we naturally think about those difficult inconveniences like the loss of a job or the loss of an attachment, right? We think of all of these negative things that happened in our lives that seem to be unplanned. And while it's true, it's not complete. Because what about the interventions that saved us? What about the interruptions, right? What about the times when things went off script because God was protecting us? What about the times we used to go in the wrong direction and God used an interruption as an intervention to steer us in the right direction? What about those moments when our scripts had become pretty predictable and God loved us enough to intervene? Eutychus' script was pretty final until Paul goes off script. What was once dead is now alive again. This story is not over. He's alive, and those words suggest that Eutychus' story was not over. Truth is, God used Paul to help write someone else's story. And that's not limited to Paul. I believe it's still applicable to us today. Let me say this to you. God wants to use each and every one of us as vessels to help revise someone else's story. Let me say that again. God wants to use each and every one of us as vessels to help revise someone else's story, even if it means that our plans are interrupted. Now, for those of you who were watching Anchor Point this morning, you heard Rudy Rasmus on Anchor Point talk about his or how he started off in ministry. He talked about how he started off basically running a bordello, and yet a pastor saw something in him and invested in him and completely turned his life around and was able to intervene and put his life on a totally different path. In fact, his story is actually very similar to Louis Armstrong. The great jazz musician grew up and had a difficult childhood. His father abandoned his family at a young age, and the mother turned out to be a prostitute. But a local Jewish family intervened, gave him a job collecting junk and delivering coal, and would invite him over to their home and continue to encourage him to sing. But one day on New Year's Eve, he took his stepfather's gun, shot it in the air, and was arrested on the spot and was sent to a boys' home. Someone there intervened in his life, gave him a cornet, And then he fell in love with music. While working odd jobs, he started developing a reputation as a pretty good musician and one of the great jazz players around at that time. Joe Oliver King started acting as a mentor, and literally the rest is history. At every point in his life when it seemed like it wasn't going to turn out well, someone intervened. When it seemed like he had fallen out of a window, someone had interrupted his life. Eutychus was alive because someone had intervened. Someone thought he was worth saving. Someone went off script. Someone left that room. They went down those stairs. They wrapped their arms around him. Someone went off script to save Eutychus. And all of this happened off script. 6 hours of preaching, and this is the only miracle that we find in that room. Sometimes it makes us even ask the critical question of ourselves, where would we be if someone had not intervened in our own lives? Because if we're honest with ourselves, there was a point in our lives when someone was willing to have their lives interrupted by us, and they made the choice to go off script because there was a part of our story that they wanted to see continue. We are the recipients of the blessings of those off-scripted moments. So let me close with this. Because I don't know where you are spiritually or where you are watching from, but let me say this to you. God can use you to help rewrite someone else's story. I mean, God used someone else to help rewrite our stories. So even if it's not in your script, God still wants to use you. Because let's be honest, it's not about what's in your script. It's about who's in your script. So let me speak to the Pauls who are watching. Perhaps you feel like God has placed someone around you in your life right now, and you believe that God wants you to be a vessel in their lives. If you are Paul and you're watching today, I just want you to take a second and I want you to go to the chat and put their initials. Don't put their names, just put their initials in the chat, because you believe that God wants to use you as a vessel in this season of your life to help rewrite the story of someone else. Somebody has fallen out of a window and it doesn't seem like they have any life left in them, but God wants to send you. God wants to work in their life through you. God wants to use you to be a blessing in their lives in this off-scripted moment. Maybe it wasn't what you had planned, but people are more important than plans. If you would just put their initials in the chat, and those of you who are watching, as you see those initials come across the screen, we just want you to pray for them. In the quietness of your home or wherever you are watching from, we just want you to pray for those initials that you see come across the screen. And for all of the Pauls that are watching, listen, all you've got to do is go down there and put your arms around somebody, and you do your best and you let God do the rest. Now, maybe you're not Paul, but maybe you see yourself in the crowd. Maybe you see yourself eagerly listening and waiting for the message to speak to you. Maybe you came really just to have someone preach to you today. But what do you think was the biggest reason that Eutychus fell? Maybe it was that the day was too long, or the sermon kept going on and on, or the room was too packed. It was because no one was paying attention. I wonder, with such a small room that no one saw him by an open window dozing off? Was there no one close enough to him to warn him of the dangers? No one saw him and he died on their watch. How can all of this go on around and no one notice? If you are the crowd watching, my prayer to you today is that even as you pray and even as you get engrossed in your own script, that you don't forget about the scripts of those people around you, that you stay diligent of those people who are living on the edge. Or maybe you're like Eutychus today. Maybe you are like Eutychus today. Maybe you're tired. Maybe you've fallen from grace. Maybe something or some experience has literally sucked the life out of you. Life has gone off script so much that you don't have the strength to get back up again. And everything around you is telling you to just stay down. Well, if that's you, you've come to the right place today. Because God is waiting to wrap his arms around you and throw his body on you and confidently proclaim, "She is alive. He is alive." So I don't care where you might be today. I don't care what window you've fallen from. It doesn't matter what condition you are in. I want you to know that God is capable of picking you up wherever you are. Paul's mission was saving Eutychus. God's mission today is saving and reaching somebody who's watching. Won't you pray with me? God, we are grateful. We are grateful for the ways that you intervene. We are grateful for the pause that went off script and came and interrupted our lives and breathed new life into where we were. We're so grateful for the moments in our lives when we thought we were headed in the wrong direction, that you were gracious enough that even without even asking, you loved us enough to step in right when we needed you the most. So God, I pray for the pause today. I pray that you will give them the courage to go off script for somebody else. Not because it's in their plans, but because it's in your plans. I pray for the crowd today that we would be diligent and watching and paying attention to the community and to the world around us. God, I pray that our eyes would be open. And we pray for Eutychus today. We pray that you would wrap your arms around them and that you would remind them that just because it's gone off script doesn't mean that it's the end of their story. Because with you, there's always the blessing of being resurrected and having new life breathed into our situations. In Christ's name we pray, amen.